You may be wondering, Brother David, who is the meanest member in the church? Well, James tells us here in James chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Basically, he's saying there, don't be eager to be a teacher or a preacher, because preachers and teachers will receive a stricter judgment because of the words that they preach and they say. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in a word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeneth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same time a place of sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine and figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You can be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to talk about the meanest member in the church, and we're going to vote on that here in a few moments. So get you a name and a face in your mind, and then we'll talk about that here in the next few moments. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. But most of all, we thank you, Lord, for salvation. God, I pray that you'd help us to understand your word tonight as James speaks very, very clearly, Lord, to us in this chapter. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to rightly divide your word, give us wisdom for the journey, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if I were to ask you who was the meanest member in the church, what would be your answer? Now, I'm not asking for no names, all right? What would be your answer? Well, James would have an answer for us. And the same answer that James has really should be the same answer that all of us has. James tells us really who the meanest member in the church is. As a matter of fact, he says this member has killed more friendships. It's ruined more marriages and relationships. It's wrecked more homes. It's split more churches. This member has driven out more good men from among our congregations. It's caused more division in the church than any other member. And he gives us his name in verse number 6 of our text. The Bible says, and the tongue. The person that we're talking about tonight, or the thing we're talking about tonight, we're talking about the tongue. The meanest member, the most cruelest and wickedest member in the church, according to James, is the tongue. And he says in verse number 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. One commentator said it well. He said, concealed as a sniper, quick as a bullet, and deadly as a gun, the 3-inch animal that lives in a pool of saliva behind an ivory cage of teeth is known as the tongue. The wickedness of the tongue can go beyond description. I want you to know that the subject that we're going to talk about tonight is in everybody's mouth. It's called the tongue, all right? We're going to talk about the tongue tonight and how the tongue can bless and how the tongue can curse. How the tongue can build us up and how the tongue can tear us down. And James really makes 3 important observations about the tongue. Now, that tongue may be a little small member, but that tongue has a big impact. You can use your tongue to bless God and to encourage people, or you can use the tongue to blame God, and you can use the tongue to tear down people. And unfortunately, in the house of God, there's been a lot of people that have used the tongue to tear down individuals instead of build them up. Can I remind you, if you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you know that your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life, you're a soldier of Jesus Christ, you are the bride of Christ, you are to use your tongue to glorify God and to edify man and not to tear man down. Somebody say amen right there. And the Bible teaches us a lot about this subject called the tongue, the meanest member in the church. Notice these three observations that James makes about the tongue. Number one, he talks about the dynamic power of the tongue. There's a lot of power in that little member in your body called the tongue. Verse number five, it says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Watch this. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. When I was reading this week, I was contemplating and thinking about the words that can literally determine somebody's entire course of life. Words can have such an impact. There's so much power behind words that it literally can determine somebody's course of life. For example, say you're sitting in a room and you're sitting on a seat and 12 individuals walk into that room. One of those individuals stands up and with a very thunderous voice says one word, says, guilty. That one word, guilty, just separated you from your family and from your friends and literally has separated you from the outside world just by uttering one word. You think about the phrase, I do. Here you're standing there with the love of your life. And the preacher looks to you and you have the vows and you say, I do. For the man, those two words there means that he's going to sacrifice for the rest of his life being the leader and the lover that God's called him to be. With those words, I do, he means that I'm going to lead this family and I'm going to love this family. I will serve and sacrifice for them. For the woman, on the other hand, when she says, I do, she's saying, I'm going to be supportive and submissive. I will submit to this man. I will voluntarily come underneath his leadership, and I will love him all of my days, and I will be supportive and submissive. I will pull out of him what God has placed on the inside of him. The power of two spoken words, I do, literally sets the direction of an entire life. James is talking about the tongue, and he is talking about, with the tongue, the power of the spoken word. Now, I want you to notice what he says about the power of the tongue. You may want to write this down. First of all, notice the power of the tongue and how there is power to gauge. Power to gauge. Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Do you realize, friend, that the tongue has the power to gauge what sort of person you are becoming? If you can be in a room with an individual for just a few moments and very, very quickly you can gauge what type of person that individual is. If you've ever been in mixed company and you've sat down maybe at a dinner engagement with different people on the job or with mixed company, very quickly their tongue can gauge exactly what type of person they are. Perhaps they start telling a filthy joke, or perhaps they bow their head in prayer and they thank God for the meal they're about to receive. Maybe they speak words of bitterness, or maybe they speak words of blessings. That tongue has the power to gauge what type of individual you are. And that's exactly what James is saying in verse number 2. And he uses the word perfect man in verse 2. Notice, he says, for in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Now that word perfect there means mature. And what James is saying is, James says that you can measure the maturity of a Christian by the way they control their tongue. You can measure the maturity of a child of God by the way they control their tongue. One of the first things that happens when you go to the doctor is he wants to look at what? your tongue. He gets in there and he says, stick out your tongue and go, bah, right? And by the color of your tongue, he can tell whether you have a fever. He can tell whether or not you're sick, all by examining your tongue. Likewise, just like a physician can tell the physical health by examining your tongue, God looks at the spiritual health of a believer by examining your tongue. Your tongue can betray you, friend. Your tongue is an indication, it is a barometer of where you are at spiritually. Somebody say amen right there. And so you and I need to be wise in using the right words at the right time and doing what God has called us to do. You see, the tongue's an indicator of one's spiritual health. Justin Martyr, who was a famous Christian apologist who lived some 1,800 years ago, he made this assessment. He said, by examining the tongue of a patient, physicians find out the disease of the body. Philosophers find out the disease of the mind, and Christians find out the disease of the soul. By simply listening to the words that we use and how we use them and how we portray ourselves with our speech, we can find out the spiritual health of an individual. James, very early on in his book, he wants to encourage his readers to gauge themselves by that tongue. He says in James chapter 1, verse 26, listen what it says. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Notice what he says. If there's a man among you that seems to be religious, that is, here's a person that can participate in the entire ministry of the church. You can go on every missions trip this church has to offer. You can sing in the choir. You can be a ministry leader. You can pray at the altar. You can tithe and you can give. You can do everything under the sun, but if your lip and your life doesn't line up, the Bible says that your religion is absolutely worthless. Notice what the Bible says. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, he deceives his own heart, and that man's religion is vain. Listen, friend, you can do everything here in the church. You can participate in everything, but if you cannot tame the tongue and bring it under control, if you continue to be a gossip, if you continue to tear down, you continue to criticize, your religion, the Bible says, is in vain. That's good preaching, Brother David. Can you say amen? Now understand this, and we need to really let this soak down in our heart. It's the mark of spiritual maturity. That's how dynamically powerful the tongue is. The tongue is able to gauge you where you're at spiritually. You see, the mark of spiritual maturity is not how you control your talent. It is not how you control your time, and it's not how you control your treasure. But the mark of spiritual maturity is how you control your tongue. You see, there are those among different denominations, they say that the gift, evidence of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. I would beg to differ. I believe that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues, but controlling your tongue. Amen. That's what James is saying here. He's saying in verse number 2, he says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect, he's a mature man, a mature Christian, and able also to bridle the whole body. You see, Jesus alluded to the fact that we can measure a man's walk and his witness by the very words that we use. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. I've heard people say before, well, I didn't mean to say that. Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somebody's angry and all this and that. They say, well, my anger got the best of me. I didn't mean to say that. Jesus would say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, the tongue is so powerful that it's powerful enough to gauge you. Not only can a tongue gauge your physical health, but it gauges your spiritual health. It's an indicator of where you are at with God. And Jesus said, it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And James says, be careful. If you want to be a mature individual, bridle the tongue. For if you're able to bridle the tongue, you're able to control the body. He says not only the power of the tongue, but notice this. He talks about the power to guard. That tongue is so powerful that it has the power to gauge, but it has the power to guard. Again, verse number 2. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. The word there is mature, a mature man, watch this, and able also to bridle the whole body. Here's what James is saying. If you can control the tongue, then you can control your life. If you can bring that tongue under submission of Jesus Christ, then you don't have to worry about the rest of your life. You see, I believe there's a lot of people that the reason why they're so miserable is because they've allowed their tongue to run away from them. Somebody may be sitting here tonight and they say, Pastor, I just wish I could get my life under control. If you've ever said that or you ever contemplated that, I wish I could get my life under control, how about starting with your tongue? Because if you can get the tongue under control, James says in verse number 2 that the perfect man, he says, the perfect man is able also to bridle, listen, the whole body. You get the tongue under control, then the mind will be under control. You get the tongue under control, then the heart will be under control. You see, friend, if you're saying the right things and speaking to God, God's going to take care of everything else. You say, I want to fix my life. I want my life to be directed. I want my life to be guarded. Then you start with the tongue. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that open wide his lips shall have destruction. I had somebody who used to tell me that loose lips sink ships, and he's exactly right. The Bible says he that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Listen to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words there is wantonness, not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Listen, for the Father up above is looking down with love. Oh, be careful, little tongue and mouth, what you say. Somebody said, be careful the words you say to keep them soft and sweet. You never know from day to day which ones you'll have to eat. Can you say amen? You never know what you're going to say. Make sure they're soft. Make sure they're sweet because you don't want to eat them. And I believe a lot of us that the diet we've had these days has been a diet of words. We've had to eat a lot of words because we're not careful what we have to say. And so James tells us right away, there's this dynamic power in the tongue. That the tongue is able to gauge you. It's an indicator of your spiritual health. But he also says the tongue can guard you. If you'll guard your tongue will guard you, is what James is saying. He says in verse number 2, a perfect man, he says one that is mature, he's able to bridle the whole body. You guard the tongue, your tongue will guard you. The power of the tongue. Not only is there power to gauge you and the power to guard you, but notice this in verse 3 and 4, there's power to guide you. That tongue is so powerful, it can gauge you and it can tell, it's an indicator of your spiritual health. It can guard you and keep you away from a lot of mess. Verse 3 and number 4, he talks about the power to guide. Look at verse 3. He says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and they obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or rudder. Whithersoever the governor listeneth. Now it's interesting. James says that controlling the tongue is like two things. Number one, controlling a mighty steed. He's talking about a horse. Those bits inside that horse's mouth, though they're very small, that mighty steed is fast. And he is powerful, that those bits on the inside can control the entire motion and body of that horse. He says not only a mighty steed, but also a mighty ship. He says there's this big, massive ship. And it's got its sails up and the wind can blow the ship. But underneath, there's a small, tiny rudder. And when the captain turns it this way, that mighty ship goes that way. When he turns it this way, he moves the whole thing this way. What James is saying is that just like the bits and just like the rudder being very small, but yet controls the body of the horse and the body of the ship, though your tongue is very small, it can control the destiny and the body of your life.
If you are not careful, friend, what you say will ruin your testimony. If you're not careful, what you say will ruin your marriage. If you're not careful, what you say, it will ruin your ministry. The nature of the tongue is so small, but yet so powerful that it literally can guide us. We need it to guard us, and we need it to help us as we yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Very, very small in nature. I have found that the tongue can do one of two things. As a matter of fact, James tells us later on in verse number 10, I believe it is, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. That tongue of yours has the ability to influence for good, for God, and for glory, or that tongue of yours has a way of tearing things down. There was a young man who was a young lawyer back in the days of the early colonial days here in America. He was a young lawyer, and he was in Virginia. And there was a time in our American history that was a turning point for all Americans. That young lawyer, sounding more like a prophet than a patriot, used his words that day to influence an entire nation and literally transform and change our history forever. You know him as Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry said, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what other course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Those words that he used were so powerful, it literally transformed and changed our American culture. It set us on a journey of victory. It set us to be triumphant. The chains were let loose, freedom was beginning to reign, and God sent his blessings down upon America. And I can tell you today, God is still blessing America, because there are some individuals that are not cursing God, they are blessing God with their tongue. Can you say amen? James tells you and I the power to guide us. He says, you can direct the entire course of life. Just like the rudder, the way you turn the tongue can actually turn your life. Just like that rudder on that boat, the way you turn it turns the whole boat. The way you turn your tongue can literally turn your entire life around. You say, "Brother David, I wish my life was better. I wish my life was more blessed." Why don't you start with the tongue? Why don't you come to God and say, "God, I want you to hear my speech. I want you to hear the words that I say. Bring conviction upon me." You see, we're so easy and so quick, it's our human nature to be critical in our nature. We're so quick to condemn, because all of us are full of self-righteousness. From me all the way down to the newest member of the church, we all have this bit of self-righteousness where that human nature sometimes takes over. We think we're better than everybody else. We think we're over everybody else. And I want you to know, friend, the devil uses that as an Achilles heel, and he uses it to attack us each and every time. Understand this. It's not until we lay our tongues down at the altar, literally, laying down at the altar and say, "God, I want you to use my tongue for your honor and for your glory. I want you to use it to build a nation. I want you to use it to build a ministry. I want you to use it to build my family. I want you to help me to speak words of faith and life into my sons and my daughters and my marriage and those around me. Use my tongue to bring honor and glory to you." Though it's a very small member, it is mighty in the hands of Almighty God. Can you say amen? You see, the Bible teaches about this dynamic power of the tongue. It's got the power to gauge your spiritual health. It's got the power to guard you. You guard the tongue, it will guard you. James says it has the power to guide. But not only do we see the dynamic power of the tongue, but look at verse number 5, 6, 7, and 8, and following. He talks about the deadly poison of the tongue. Now, all of us at some point of our life, we've probably been afflicted by the bite of somebody else's tongue. We have been condemned or criticized, and you know the pain and the anguish that can come to a heart because of somebody else's criticism. It seems like even when you're trying to do the best of things, people misjudge you, they misread you, and they criticize you. Well, they did Jesus Christ that way. Jesus Christ never did no sin. He never did anybody wrong. Yet they misjudged him. They didn't understand him. And with their tongues, they begin to wail upon him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. If you've been around for about 30 seconds, you understand that the tongue can bring pain and it can bring anguish. James writes about the deadly poison of the tongue. He talks about the tongue being one that destroys. The tongue literally destroys. It destroys, verse number 5. Listen to what he says. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. He says, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. When I read that, I automatically just begin to contemplate October 8th, 1871. Growing up in Chicago, I read about the Chicago fire, and there's one building that's still standing down there in Chicago that I've been by many, many times. But October 8th, 1871 was the Great Chicago Fire, and they say that a cow accidentally overturned a lantern in a barn, and that lantern set a bunch of hay on fire. That hay caught on fire, and it began to spread very rapidly through Chicago. As a matter of fact, the fire was so devastating that 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died, and it cost the city $400 million to rebuild, and it all started with a little fire. Can I tell you, friend, the Bible says here in our verse, it says that the tongue is like a little fire. Oh, how a little fire can destroy people's lives very quickly. A little gossip here, a little criticism there, a negative word here has literally destroyed churches. It has taken churches that were once dynamic and once influential. It has literally rendered them useless, all because of the power of the tongue. How a little fire began to burn, and it spread from home to home, to heart, to ministry, till finally everything was consumed by the devil, all because of the power of a tongue. You say, Brother David, I don't want that to happen here. Hold on. We're going to get there in a few moments. We're going to find out what we need to do with the tongue. The deadly poison, it destroys. But notice also verse number 6. The Bible says it defiles. Look at verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. James teaches us here, not only does the tongue destroy in verse 5, but he says in verse 6, the tongue defiles. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 11, it says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man. That chimichanga that I'm going to eat tonight is not going to defile me. Praise God. Perhaps that salsa and those chips, it's not going to defile me. It may not be good for me, but it's not going to defile me. You know what defiles me? It's not what goes in the mouth. It's what comes out of the mouth. And you need to remember that. You need to remember that when you're on Facebook. Oh, here we go again. You need to remember that when you're on Facebook. It amazes me how people want to puke out their lives on Facebook. Yes, I said puke out your lives. It amazes me how evil and cruel and wicked an individual can be on Facebook. It's easy to sit there behind your computer screen inside your home and sit there and type out all your evil, wicked words and say this and that and all this and that about somebody and criticize them all over Facebook, but you wouldn't dare walk up to their face and say it to them face to face. I'm going to tell you this morning, or tonight rather, if you're going to type it out on words, be man enough to stand up to somebody face to face and say it to their face. Amen. Can you say amen there? Facebook is a great thing. We got a Facebook page here, and it's been fun to post the videos up, and it could be a great ministry tool. It could be a way to connect with your friends, post pictures of your family and all this and that. But listen, friend, the devil can take anything for good and use it for evil if you allow him. Amen. And your words, you need to remember that your words can literally destroy, and it can affect individuals. If you're going to be a Christian behind your computer. If you're going to be a Christian when you text message. If you're going to be a Christian when you write a letter. If you're going to be a Christian, you be a Christian with your speech, because your words can destroy and your words can defile. And it's not what goes in the mouth, it's what comes out of the mouth that's going to ruin your testimony. He says the deadly poison of the tongue, it destroys, it defiles. He goes on with more negativity. He says it actually devours. Look at verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird and serpents of the things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. It devours. The Bible says it can't even be tamed. We've taught our children as they were growing up, even I was taught this and perhaps you were too. We taught our kids the little rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. It's good to teach kids that, but those of us that are adults, we know the falsehood in that statement. There's been many of you here tonight that you have been bitten by the poisonous sting of somebody else's tongue, and it's bitter and it hurts. You have sat up at night and you have saturated your pillow with tears because of somebody else's vicious words to your family. Maybe it was within your family. Maybe there's a relational problem within your family and your heart's been broken and torn in two, and you can't say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You're hurt inside. You're hurt and you're broken. You need to understand, friend, if you're a child of God, God says this tongue of yours that I have placed inside your mouth, it may be a small little bitty member, but just like the bits in the horse's mouth can turn the whole body, your words can turn your entire family. Just like the rudder underneath the ship can turn that mighty ship, even when vast winds are blowing against it, that little rudder can turn the entire ship against winds of adversities. So can your tongue. When winds of adversities are blowing your way, what you say with your words can literally stir you on the right direction against winds of adversity. It devours, it destroys, and it defiles. And I want you to know, friend, if you're here today and tonight and your heart is broken, or you felt the sting and the hurt of somebody else's words, I want you to know that Jesus Christ can relate with you tonight. He understands. He understands what it's like to be forsaken. He understands what it's like when he needed his friends the most, that they couldn't even stay awake and sleep for just awake for a few moments and be with him. They fell asleep. He knows what it's like to hear Peter's awful words and cursing and denying him. He knows what it's like to hear the crowd that he loved and he healed and watched out over cry out, crucify him, as they spit upon him and mocked him, the Bible says. He understands the pain that you're going through. So my pastoral advice to you is this. If you've been bitten by the ugly snake of somebody else's tongue and that poison's leaking through your body, take it to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the cross, you'll find healing. At the cross, you'll find help. At the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find everything you need to help you regain the strength that you need for your spiritual journey. And don't you listen to the words of others. Don't you listen to the critics of others. If you know you're in the will of God and you're doing what God wants you to do, you be as bold as a lion. You stand on your feet and you understand God's leading you this way. You grab a hold of the hand of God and let God take you on the journey. And don't worry about all the critics. Can you say amen? You see, there's the deadly poison of the tongue, James talks about. He talks about the dynamic power of the tongue. But then he talks about, last of all, he talks about the divine purpose of the tongue. That tongue is powerful. It can gauge you, it can guard you, and it can guide you, James said. He says that tongue is very poisonous. It can destroy you and defile and devour. Well, if it can do all these things, then is there really a purpose for our tongue, that little small member inside our mouth, that the meanest member in our church? You mean there's actually a purpose for the meanest member in the church? Well, absolutely. There's a divine purpose for your tongue, and I'd love for you to write them down. Number one is to proclaim faith. James tells you and I that tongue has been placed on the inside of our mouth to proclaim faith. Verse 1 of our text, my brethren, be not many masters, that's teachers or preachers, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation. James is warning those who want to be a novice. They want to jump up there and start teaching and preaching right away. Maybe they're in it for the crowd and the coin and not for the conversions of souls. And he says, wait a minute, don't be too eager to jump in there and say, pick me. Because you're going to receive a greater condemnation. Every teacher and every preacher in this church Every time you preach and you teach the word of God, if your motives are not pure and your heart is not right and you're using the pulpit as a battering ram or to grind an axe, the Bible's teaching us here, you will receive a greater condemnation, a more stricter judgment because you're preaching truth. You're illuminating truth. You're exegeting truth. You're expounding on truth. Every preacher that's ever went against the word of God, he'll stand in judgment before God, and his judgment will be more stricter than those who are not teachers and preachers. But the point is this. If God has called masters, verse number one, or teachers and preachers, God has called them to speak. And why has God called us to speak? God has called us to speak because God has spoken. God has spoken in his word. God has revealed his glory among the nations. God has called you and I who are part of his church. He has called us to speak. You see, you say, Pastor, why do you preach every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday? I speak because God has spoken. And the reason why we were downtown Chattanooga and we were passing out Bibles and tracts and witnessing and counseling, we were speaking because God has spoken. The reason why we went to the Dominican Republic and we talked to people down there and tried to win them to Christ, we were speaking because God has spoken. God has placed that tongue in my mouth and in your mouth to proclaim faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How are they going to hear? Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Preacher, you're to preach. Preacher, you're to speak. You're to proclaim the word of God. And not only am I talking about an ordained man of God, I'm talking about those of you that are here. Your obligation as a child of God, as a member of Parkway Baptist Temple, is not to tear down, but is to build up. And your obligation is to preach the word of God, speak words of faith. Can you say amen? The Bible says it's the divine purpose. I'm to proclaim the faith. Second of all, not only am I to proclaim faith with my tongue, but verse 9 says I'm to praise the Father. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, wherewith bless we God, even the Father. And wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. James is talking about the inconsistency of the tongue. He says in verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? He's talking about the inconsistency of the tongue. Listen, your tongue, my tongue, it's inconsistent. What God has called us to do is to recognize our divine purpose. Our divine purpose is this, to yield to him, and we are to proclaim the faith, but also we are to yield to him our tongues and praise the Father. We are to praise him. We're to lift up our voice and say amen. I was so encouraged when we went to the Dominican. I watched our teenagers and our adults that were there. We went around, we sat at the pool one night, and we just went around the circle, and everybody testified about something. And I watched some of our teenagers that I've never heard spoke a word inside this church literally get up and testify about the goodness and the grace of God. I listened to them talk about how thankful they were for you as grandma and grandpa, how thankful they were for their mom and their dad, how thankful they were for a church and with the things that they had, and how it changed them, it transformed them. They were going to be more appreciative. And the whole time I'm listening to everybody, I'm thinking about the words, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glory of my God and King, the triumph of his grace. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. You know, I believe God, every time he hears the praises of his people, it's like music in his ears. That God is pleased when we brag on him. We brag on everything else, don't we? We brag on NASCAR. We brag on our sports teams and celebrities and all this and that. Well, how about just bragging on Jesus every once in a while and giving praise to the Father? That's what God gave you that tongue for, to declare his glory among the nations. You see, there's a divine purpose, James says. He says, hey, proclaim the faith. He says, second of all, verse 9, just praise the Father. And then verse 9 and verse number 10, he says, why don't you just promote fellowship? Here's a great idea for our tongues. Let's promote fellowship. Can somebody say amen, huh? Look at verse number 9 and verse number 10. He says, wherewith bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of the likeness of God? He says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Listen, my brethren, these things ought not so to be.
That is, you sing in the choir on Sunday, but then on Monday you're just cussing and cursing everybody out. You're so upset, you're so frustrated, you go home and you log on to Facebook and you say everything about the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, and how bad the guy next to you smells, you know. And you're just putting it all out there, you know. How bad the choir sounded today, how terrible the PA system sounded, how out of tune the guitars were. And you're just all this. How can we bless God on Sunday and then curse man on Monday, who's made after the likeness and the image of Almighty God? James says, not my words, his: my brethren, these things ought not so to be. You see, I believe God wants us to promote fellowship. Our tongues are to be used to build and not to tear down. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? He says, an answer spoken in due season, how good is it? I believe that there are some folks tonight that are ripe and ready. And whatever season of your life you're in right now, all you need is a good word. There's people all around us. All they need is a good, encouraging word. Perhaps instead of sitting down and typing out something negative, why don't you sit down and type out something positive? Perhaps God showed you something of yourself tonight, and you share that with somebody, and how you encourage somebody else. You know, I tell young preachers all the time, they ask about preaching and they talk about preaching and what they need to do and this and that. And my advice to them is the same advice that an old preacher gave many, many years ago. He said, you preach to broken hearts because there's one in every pew. And tonight, I know with this crowd that's here, there's somebody that's been victimized by somebody else's words. And they're hurt. And the proverb says that a good answer, a good word spoken in this season of their life, oh, how good it is. There's somebody here tonight that's ready. There's somebody here that's ripe in this season of their life. All they need is for somebody to come by and give an encouraging word. You say, well, Brother David, now there's some things I don't understand about the sermon. You say, I want to get a hold of the tongue. I want to tame this thing. But James says in verse 2, no man can tame it. And then he argues in verse 2 that we need to control it. So if nobody can tame it, and I'm called on to control it, is James contradicting himself, or how do I reconcile that? Let me give you a great poem, and we'll close with this. No man can tame the wicked tongue. No man his soul can save. Only God can cleanse the heart and make the tongue behave. Tonight, friend, the only person that can tame the tongue, the tiger that's within your mouth, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps you've not been doing your part. Perhaps something has just irritated you or agitated you a little bit, and all you've been doing is grumbling and complaining. You know, maybe it's at home, on the job. Maybe it's here at the church. Maybe you're not happy with something here. I don't know. Nobody's told me anything. I know nada, nothing. But perhaps the Holy Spirit said, preacher, preach on the tongue tonight because my servant needs to hear it. And so I've preached God's word tonight, and the only way that you can respond is by coming forward, praying there in the pew, saying, God, use my tongue to bring praises to the Father, to promote fellowship, and to preach the faith that's been delivered to me in this Bible.